Back in 1940, in a review of the Broadway musical Pal Joey, a New York Times critic famously asked whether a show with a cad for a hero could ever really work for audiences. How can you draw sweet water, he wondered, from a foul well? Times have changed. We don't even think about cads these days. Audiences are so used to on-screen jerks and anti-heroes that Bob Mondello says two new movies, Listen Up, Philip, and Force Majeure, actually encourage us to dislike their leading men.
The title character in Listen Up, Philip is a young writer whose early success has made him pretty much insufferable. Here he is, played by Jason Schwartzman, with his publisher.
Hey, quick thought I just had. I'm not doing any press for the book at all. Readings, interviews, nothing.
You cannot be serious.
Oh, quite.
Here's Philip with his ex-girlfriend.
This was for you. It's an advance copy. I'd even written a little note in the dedication page and everything. But you know something? You don't support me, and you never did. So you don't get this gift from me.
Here's Philip with his current girlfriend, after an older writer convinces him to spend some time away from her.
I'm doing what's best for me.
Yeah, you're doing what you're best at. You're looking out for your own self-interest without thinking of how it might affect me or anybody else.
I hope this will be good for us, but especially for me.
Real sweetheart, right? But then director Alex Ross Perry lets you see Philip with this great man he so wants to emulate, the miserable great man who's reportedly loosely modeled on another Philip, Philip Roth. This guy has the acclaim and success Philip still craves, and what's it gotten him? His daughter loathes him, his life bores him, to the point that he's got nothing better to do than poison the worldview of a kindred spirit.
Don't make yourself any more miserable than you need to be. Give that to the women you love. That's what they're pretty much there for.
What the women are there for in Listen Up, Philip, is to be truth-tellers to these childish novelists, especially Philip's eventually assertive girlfriend, played by Elizabeth Moss, who ends up using his books as coasters in a long and welcome mid-movie detour from the story of his self-involvement. It's gratifying to watch her mature as the film's men play in their literary sandbox, petulantly provoking everybody around them. Force Majeure initially seems to have a much more ingratiating leading man, Tomas, a strong, manly father figure on a ski trip with his wife and two kids. But hit by the irresistible force majeure of the title, this rock-solid guy crumbles into adolescent anxiety. It happens while the family is sitting on a balcony as one of the ski slope's controlled avalanches, designed to prevent bigger avalanches, starts to seem not very controlled. It comes down the mountain straight at the resort and at the camera, and, well, there's no other way to say it. Mom grabs the kids, Dad grabs his cell phone, and runs. Though no one is hurt, Tomas's abandonment of his family festers, and later in a bar, when he plays macho and pretends his wife was the one who was scared, she doesn't let him get away with it.
You got a bit afraid, but...
He got so scared that he ran away from the table.
What? No, I did not.
As odd as it sounds, director Ruben Ostlund manages to make Tomas's crisis of masculinity, his not having lived up to expectations that even he shares, as funny as it is appalling. What so shocks Tomas's wife about her husband, and what, if we're honest, makes him unnerving to us in Force Majeure, is that he's a reminder that our first impulses don't always reflect our best selves. This is a truth that Hollywood, which believes in heroes and hero worship, infrequently applies to men, and it's a truth that Swedish director Ostlund makes enormously engaging, even as his leading man disengages, in a movie that is gorgeous and alpine and as majestic as it is Majeure. I'm Bob Mondello.